From NPR Music, you're connected to All Songs Considered. I'm Bob Boylan. From time to time on this show, we like to have musicians play DJ for us. It's always interesting to hear what they gravitate towards and find in the music they love the common thread that makes its way into the music they create. Other shows you can hear in our DJ series include M. Ward, Bright Eyes, Tom Verlaine, members of Tilly and the Wall, and Joanna Newsom. Today, we have one of our favorite musicians, Tom York, the singer and a songwriter and guitar player and electronic musician with Radiohead. We'll talk about the music on Radiohead's recent CD, In Rainbows, and his 2006 solo CD, The Eraser. Tom York gave us a list of some of his favorite musicians, and that's where we begin. Where do you, Tom York, find your music?
Where, in the house? Or
where in the house? You keep it in the bedroom,
also... it's locked in a safe, actually, because I'm paranoid about it.
And where do you hear new stuff from? Where does it come?
Mostly these days, it's either swapped round from members of the band, because we all have our little... niches is not quite the right word, but we all have our particular tastes. They're always very different. I spend a lot of time now downloading stuff because there's not a lot of shops really in my area that are selling the stuff I want to hear. So I use a website called Boomcat a lot, and you know, various others, Bleep. I even sometimes have to go to iTunes.
Do you miss that? I mean, did you do that as a kid, go to record shops and maybe have a friend or a person behind the counter that would help you out finding stuff?
Yeah, I miss it a lot. I think, I'm fairly ignorant of how it is in the US, but it strikes me that my experiences in the US are much more positive in terms of independent shops than over here.
I think it's a luck of the draw. I mean, I think it's true of radio too, which is that certain cities, great radio. Other cities, other places, forget it. And this is not a way in the world you're going to find good tunes.
Yeah, it's hit and miss here. The shops that I've loved going to go under fairly quickly. I mean, it's also a taste. I mean, there's a lot of there's a big shop that sells lots of house music, but I just can't go in there. It drives me crazy. You know, mm-hmm. They have a tiny little electronica section in the corner, but. I just can't do it anymore. I used to do it. I used to face them down and go in, but it's just not worth it now.
Pick me something that let's say in the last handful of years that has really knocked you out.
Okay, well, where would I start? I'd start probably with The Liars, actually.
Okay.
Drums Not Dead, the album Drums Not Dead. I've been listening to them since their first record, and I'm struggling to remember what the first record was called now, but... I think they were based in New York originally, but when they made this record, which was, 2 years ago now, they moved to Berlin, and it's like all over the record in the most extraordinary way. They're essentially, they started out as I hate the term art rock, but that's kind of, if you want to do it briefly, that was what it was. And then by the time they made Drums Not Dead, they seemed to basically be... they're obviously going out clubbing all the time, but they were still using their instruments to just creating this nightmare industrial music, but using, you know, quite soft and sensitive sounds and lots of drums, surprisingly enough. It's as much about the way that the record's put together for me. It's, I don't know how on earth they arrived at the thing they did, basically, after listening to it endlessly in my car. I still haven't worked it out. Which is, you know, sometimes for me, I enjoy records just for that, you know, whereas the rest of my family will be looking at me very puzzled while I play it.
I want to play a little for people who've never heard Liars. The record's Drums Not Dead. Do you have a favorite cut that I should play?
If I had a pair of headphones, I could, because it's that classic thing where I can't remember which one.
Let's skip through it real quick for you,
great.
Okay, so, and then you tell me, oh, that's the one, and then we'll...
Well, you mean you can actually play it?
Yeah.
Okay, great.
Yeah.
That's a pretty good one. No, next one? That's the first one, isn't it? B-flat. Well, that would scare them.
Yeah.
That's just designed just to frighten people, I think. Yeah, that one's designed to frighten people as well. This one's very beautiful. That's probably an easy way in. drum gets a glimpse, that is, isn't it? Was that...
We're fast-forwarding a little, just...
Oh, okay. So we... Now,
go?
This is... Was that track 5?
Yeah, that was 5. You want to do that?
No, let's... Okay. This is track 6 now, isn't it?
Yes.
So we'll listen to this one a second. Yeah, okay. That one. The wrong coat for you, man. Heart attack.
He's very lovely. They will discover you.
They created that music at that tempo, or do you think it's all slowed down later?
No, I think I would put my money on them having worked in layers. It's that really odd thing where you start the grey area between sequencing and performing a track, where you're cutting and pasting things. But because if you use live sounds, mm-hmm. you can duplicate and copy and loop without really knowing where it stops and starts, where it's repeating, where it isn't. And that's one of the crazy things about it, you know, the record. I think it sounds like it slowed down, but that's just probably because they were working in the middle of the night, if you know what I'm saying.
Yes, indeed. So talk about that gray area, because you've lived in that gray area, I assume, in writing music, yeah?
Yeah, absolutely.
Explain to people what happens.
Well, I mean, nowadays, you know, everybody has access to things like GarageBand and stuff. When you discover for the first time that you can create new music out of sections of what you've done, you know, if you improvise, say, for 5 minutes mm-hmm. over right. something, and then you take a pattern of it, you know, and it falls in a strange place and blah, 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 you start to think in different ways. And the downside of it is you can get incredibly lazy. You can be... No, I mean, that's
right.
It's an absolute
that's
curse, you know.
Right.
It's a constant sort of dilemma for the band, really, because it sucks certain things away that you can... Oh, well, you can... We can tidy this up, we can cut this here, we can put this here. But if you're not approaching it in a lazy fashion, if you're approaching it as... a sort of strict concept as part of, you know, the part of the writing process, as the Liars are obviously doing on this record, you can end up with something really crazy, really original, because you're open to it, you know. What excites me about it is the fact that you're never really sure what is what, you know.
I've been an electronic musician for a long time.
Yeah.
And the beauty I find in the selection there and stuff that you do, is that at least I imagine that the person who started making this music had no idea where they were going to wind up.
Absolutely.
And so when you as a listener take it in, you're on the journey as they were on the journey, and that's, to me, the exciting part.
Yeah. Well, this is what Nigel, who we work with,
Nigel
the producer,
Cottage.
Yeah, his thing is always is speed.
What do you mean?
If you drag to a halt, if you're sitting there, as happens occasionally, or more than occasionally, you spend hours cutting and chopping and blah, blah, blah. It's very dull, you know. Whereas it is, and things grind to a halt, and the energy of the piece you're working on is dead, you know. And he's really good at basically stopping that from happening and keeping things moving, because essentially, like any creative process, you can get sucked into it, and you're ceasing to be, as you said, open to what's happening, cease to be prepared to be surprised or whatever, you know.
Right. So there's lots of rat holes to go down, and you don't want to go down.
And I'm of all of us, I'm the absolute worst at that.
Pick me another cut from your list.
Well, predictably enough, if you know anything about me, I would choose Mode Selector, because I'm still unhealthily obsessed by the two German guys, crazy guys from Berlin, who, I would choose the album Hello Mum, and a track called Kill Bill Volume 4, because it's the most full-on club track, complete with guys talking in the toilets beforehand. it is, you know.
Okay, so let's listen to this. It's Mode Selector. It's a band. They're from Germany. And we'll come back and talk to Tom York. Thanks. Do you get to go out to clubs?
No.
Yeah. Is it over? You must have it.
It's all over, man. It's all over.
But that's a shame.
In my head, I'm still going to clubs.
can you put on a wig or something?
Yeah. Anyway. Yeah. That I like that because it's so dumb. It's fantastically dumb, but actually it's not. And it sounds wicked on my speakers at home, loud.
When you say it's dumb, just make sure we get the... It's dumb because they got people talking in the bathroom and it's really funny and it's humor and yet you love the beat. Is that kind of what...
No, dumb as in that the music is just like, this is pure, like, let's create something coming out of the speakers that makes us want to do what we want to do.
Yeah.
That's it. We're not thinking about it. It's just like that. That's what it is. You know, I mean, the nasty square wave and it's great. It sounds fantastic.
Yeah, really rips up. Have you ever ripped up speakers trying to do that kind of music?
No.
No? Oh, you got it.
Actually, when I was at college, I used to do that, but that was a long time ago. He says, try not to sound depressed.
Yeah.
Oh, well. Someone take me out.
You spent some time doing a record in 2006 of your own. You used a lot of electronics. What sort of stuff do you work with? I'll get a little geeky. I mean, you can talk either about the kind of gear you do or even just the sound you are after. You're obviously in love with a club and a dancey sound, and you have a penchant for some sort of pulse.
I'm trying to... It was a very... a circuitous route, that particular record, because it was things that had been kicking around. Virtually everything generated inside a laptop as I was travelling around and so on. And then there's almost no hardware at all, apart from a few bits of bass and guitar and drums. Uh-huh. But I think it was as much, to me, it's as an old Aphex Twin always took... I've heard from a couple of people, his big thing is, you know, when you get a new piece of gear, that's your writing period, you know what I mean? When you're getting your head around it.
Absolutely.
That's when you create the stuff. It's actually the same as if you get a new guitar or a new piano or a new instrument. There's this amazing period where you're scrabbling around, you're not quite sure what's going on, and everything is basically tripping you out. For me, that was the main inspiration during the Eraser thing, was just finding my way around all this stuff that I was coming to pretty cold. I was having to learn pretty fast quite a lot of it, because I only really started throwing myself into learning about sequences in 2000. Before that, I'd never really gone anywhere near them. In terms of inspiration, I don't know. It was doing it for me in a way. You know, a lot of it was fragments that were then assembled, and bits and pieces and random stuff that I would just knock off if I couldn't sleep in the middle of the night, and then somewhere within the midst of that there would be four bars that would be like, oh, hello, what's this? You know, so it was very, very cut, paste, random collage all over the shop, and that's the interesting thing about. I mean, I've been working on stuff recently, and it's not.
When
like
you
that.
Say working on stuff, you mean working sort of
just
back
on
to
my
that same sort of setup that you did for the solo record.
Yeah, just scratching around, starting things up, you know. And it's a completely different mindset. I just thought I'd just throw myself straight back into it, but I think a lot of it is down to the excitement of having a new piece of gear. You know?
It's kind of like, in a way, it's like if you get a new guitar, you're kind of collaborating with the luthier, the person who made your instrument. And for me, when I get new gear that's electronic, I always feel like I'm kind of collaborating with the engineers, the designers who made these amazing things that you can, for example, move an object around and the pitch might change or whatever it is, you know. And it isn't so much a solo, lonely thing. Do you ever get that feeling?
Yeah, well, the new sort of, if you're talking about collaboration, the new thing for us that is exciting us is we just got a load of those, these things called lemurs, which are like computer assignable controller things, you know, but it's all on a flat screen, and you can do what you want with it. It's like
anything can make anything else happen.
Yeah,
anything can make
and
a sound happen.
It's wild, man. Yeah, I mean, for us, for the rest of the band and Nigel, the downer has always been, whenever we delve into the computer effects and stuff, it's a very one-man process, and it's all click, mouse, la la la, and it's very dull.
Right.
But suddenly you have the potential to create brand new instruments with different patches that you've built. Suddenly there is this physical manifestation of a bunch of stuff that's actually been really difficult to interact with, you know.
Well, let me play a little bit of this cut. This is your cut. It's skip divided, and this is the it's a mode selector remix. Mode selector remix.
That's right, yeah.
And let's give a listen to that. We'll come back and talk some more.
I'm in a skip divided malfunction. I flap around a dive bomb, frantically around your life, enveloped in a sad distraction. I got a voice repeating endlessly. Could you guide me in? Could you smother me? I swoop around your head, but I never hit. I'm blinded by electric veins that pass through me. I thought there was this big connection. I only got my name, I only got this situation.
They did a great job. How'd they go about doing that? Did they approach you?
I sent the elements through. That track gets progressively more strange.
Yes.
It starts off fairly normal like that, and it just gets more alarming.
We'll put that all online for people to hear.
We did a few remixes, actually. We did one with Burial. I sent one to him. There was one from Fortet as well.
Right.
It was really kind of... It was quite a fun thing to do, really.
And this is a remix EP that people can get like through
there's
iTunes.
There's a few, yeah. Like there's, in fact, I think that it's all that was downloadable off Boomcat, but I think they're making physical copies of it now.
You've picked a couple things now, been instrumental. You have people who you like hearing their words as well as their music.
Good point. Well, there was some words on the Lies one.
Yeah, but, yeah.
Now, if you want to talk about words, I would say the most inspirational wordsmith for me at the moment, bizarrely, is Mad Villain.
Yeah.
The guy's a genius.
These are two folks, right? This is MF Doom
MF Doom. MF Doom is Azir Rhymes, and Mad Lib is mostly the beats and stuff. Okay. And it's the album's called Mad Villainy. I'm a big fan of Mad Lib anyway, but the combination of his like lo-fi beats and Mad Villain's random semi-nonsense, but not like this. What I love about Mad Villain is that Mad Villain is just on the edge of the freestyling thing all the time, and he is just coming from right at the back of your head. I've got a poet friend of mine called Jamie McKendrick in Oxford. Most of the time he doesn't really rate lyrics and stuff. Oh, you've got to listen to this guy. I say it's sort of like it's like Bob Dylan but without any folk. No folk, no, none of that. It's like the last 50 years hasn't happened.
It's almost like Dada, and it's in some ways.
Yeah, yeah,
because
yeah, like
anything can happen. And
yeah, absolutely. I mean, well, it just takes a lot of courage to like knock out these rhymes in the way he does. I think
pick out something because there's a lot
There's
so many cuts on this record.
Yeah, you could start with accordion actually, track two.
Okay,
let's try that. Let's listen to that for a minute.
Off borrowed time, the clock tick faster. That'll be the hour they knock the slick blaster. Dick Dastardly and Muttley with sick laughter. A gunfight and they come to cut the mix master. ICE Cole, nice to be old. Y2G Steve twice to threefold. He sold scrolls, lo and behold. Know who's the illest ever, like the greatest story told. Keep your glory, gold and glitter for half of his.
Hey, Tom, can we pick yet another cut? Because there's lots of so many different styles.
That's I love that one. It's a bit of a downer.
Yeah.
Try Meat Grinder.
Okay.
The next one.
What's the next cut? That's Frank Zappa.
Huh?
It's Frank Zappa playing in the background.
Is that Zappa?
Yeah, yeah,
I mean, I don't know nothing about Zappa.
Yeah, yeah.
How funny. Oh yeah. Yeah, this one. This one's so cool.
Which one's it?
This is still 43, isn't it? Or have you moved on to Bistro now?
It's still 3.
Yeah.
Tripping off the beat grinder.
This is the one. Use this one.
Well, let's shut up and we'll give more. Tripping for a sweet minor. China was a neat sign of trouble with the script digits. Double dip, bubble lip, subtlest midget. Borderline schizo, sort of fine tits dough. Quarter wine, order grind, quarter to nine, let's go. Ever since 10-11, glad she made a brethren. Then it's last down, 7 alligator, 7 at the gates of heaven. Knocking, no answer, slow dancer, hopeless romancer. Dopest flow stanzas, yes, no, villain. Metal face to destro, guess so. Still incredible, in escrow. Just say ho, I'll test the yayo. Wild West style fest, y'all best to lay low. Hey bro, day glow, set the bet, pay dough. Before the cheddar get away, best to get Mako. The worst hated god and perpetrated art. Favors demonstrated in the perforated rod lavers. In all quad flavors, large savers. Still back in the game like Jack LaLanne. Think you know the name, don't rack your brain. On a fast track to half sane. Either in a slow beat or that the speed. Or at the cane, ladder, pain. Throwing songs lit in the booth with the best host. Doing bong hits on the roof in the west coast. He's at it again, mad at the pen. Glad that we win a tad fat in a bad hat for men. Grind the cinnamon, Manhattan warmongers. You can find the villain in satin, gongas. The van screeches, the old man preaches about the gold sand beaches. The cold hand reaches for the old tan Elises.
tea.
Wow, how'd they get the Hawaiian stuff in there? Yeah.
They just do.
Yeah, yeah, they do. And I don't know if you know who Jack LaLanne is by any chance, but he was this guy who had an exercise show on television in the 50s and 60s here in America, and he was just... I mean, the guy always looked like he was about 27 years old, even when he was like 77. And he's just a real character. And anyway, just the references, what went on in that song,
come
from every single place, including
that. I know. My favorite one is Hak Tong. Yes. Did you hear that in the middle?
Yes, I did.
Genius.
God. So I don't know how someone like that comes up with writing words. You think it just...
I think he smokes draw.
How do you come up with writing words?
Unfortunately, the same way.
Yeah. So I love hearing what you have to say. It doesn't come through for me in the first 10 times I hear your stuff. Sometimes it's a year later that I finally get all the words that you say. Do you like that happens to people? They don't get it right away? Or they make up things that they think might be what you... are saying?
It surprises me. I think probably if you ask most musicians, they're surprised stroke dumbfounded when it's not obvious first time round when you play it to someone. I mean I have that trouble with a band sometimes, like, you know, Everything That's Right Place was the absolute classic example of that.
How so?
Well, it has an extra beat in it, which I didn't even realise. And Johnny's like, it doesn't cycle normally. It doesn't cycle right. I'm like, what? I had the same thing with Videotape, where I didn't realise that I'd moved the one, two beats earlier than it should be. So
you're writing words and they're trying to make things line up into some 16 bar or whatever. And it's,
well, they're just trying to, you know, it's just a bit of a brain masher, so it takes a bit of time. But you know, it's a genuine shock to me that, oh, it's not blindingly obvious, because it's blindingly obvious to the person who writes it, I think, always.
Now you're talking about the content of the lyrics as opposed to the rhythm
It's all kind of the same thing.
Yeah.
To me. I mean, lyrics obviously is a different thing, because the nature of, if your words are any good, then that what you're trying to get across is always going to be... Meaning in the normal sense of the word is not exactly what you're trying to do. I mean, I think off the top of my head, a song like Reckoner, for example, I'm singing those words because I have to sing those words. It was necessary for me to sing those words with that melody at that time. Much like it's necessary, you know, to have toast in the morning or whatever. That's what has to happen. And the words make you feel good, or they make you feel better, or whatever. They're there to fulfill something, some need in you, you know. But increasingly, I fall into bad habits where I then worry about, you know, meaning afterwards or whatever, which, because you're writing songs, you kind of think, well, maybe I should worry about that. But actually, I think it's a deeply unhealthy thing to, you know, it's sort of...
Why is it unhealthy? Because aren't going to get the meaning of it anyway, or it's too...
Well, it
or
just,
it ruins it, it if you're too self-conscious?
It reduces, yeah, it can reduce it. You reduce the initial energy, your initial response to things, because initial responses are always best in this particular case.
Now, your set of words right there confuse the hell out of me.
Oh, good.
Okay.
I've illustrated my point completely.
Very well.
Alles klar. Yeah.
So if I take a song like Nude, there's a line about painting yourself white, I think.
Yeah.
Filling in the noise. It's a beautiful image. Should I just leave it as that image? Should I just leave it as to whatever my image is, or care about what you think?
Well, that's a classic example of that was the first thing I wrote, and tried for a very long time to change it to something in quotes better. And in quotes better was because, well, I mean, you look at it on paper and it's like, well, what the hell's that, you know? And you can say the same thing about Neil Young, for example. A lot of the time, his best were my favorite lyrics. Sorry, not his best. My favorite lyrics of his are the ones that are obviously off the cuff. You know, they just come straight out. I think one of the things I love about was that song Ambulances. It's just a series of sort of stanzas that are seemingly unrelated. In fact, he even starts talking about how the fact there's no meaning behind the song halfway through it. But the set of images add, lyrics add up to an emotion that you can't put your finger on, but it leaves you sort of better off at the end of it, you know, and that to me is the idea. I mean, we only print lyrics, I think, on records because my pronunciation is not really good, and actually I'd like people to understand sometimes. Sometimes it's kind of like, oh, no, that's not right. You got that wrong, you know, when you go on unofficial sites and they're trying to transcribe things that aren't typed out yet or whatever. So you kind of, actually, you want to make it vaguely clear, because otherwise what are you doing?
You wind up singing these songs, something that you scribbled on paper that felt good one night, and now you're singing them, you know, 4 years later to a crowd of a whole lot of people. When you sing these songs, when you're doing these things live, do they resonate again? Can they fall flat for you? How does that work?
Well, the most disconcerting piece of the whole process is like when you finish the record and you have to listen to it afterwards for whatever reason, and all the way through the creative process till the mastering and so on, you've never heard the holes, you've never heard the weaknesses, and then when it's done, that's all you can hear, and it's horrible. So
the weaknesses is all you
can
hear,
because it's like filmmakers, when they finish a film, they can't watch it, you know.
What about distance? What about time?
Yeah, that's the point. The point is, the only way to heal that is to move on to something else, which is, you know, sort of what we're trying to do in various ways at the moment before we go out, because that's the only way to see it for what it is, because by that point it's everybody else's, it's not yours, and you can't understand what the hell you've been doing for the last 3 years anyway. You know, but, you know, when you go back to older stuff, then it makes sense. So it's just one of those things. And the point for us, when you go out live, it's you get back to, on a good night, you get back to the point where the initial energy was for writing the tune in the first place, you know. And I think especially for someone like Johnny, it's really vital to him creatively to have that, because it keeps him reminded of the point of it, you know.
Let's play Nude for Folks. This is it's the waltz number on your record.
We're talking to this guy, we're talking to guy Diplo. He was with MIA and stuff, and he's currently, poor chap, he's currently trying to do a remix of it, and I sent an email saying, the main thing is you've got to keep it in 6/8. I'm like, yeah, I'm down with that, man. I've never done a remix 6/6. Okie dokie. So I can't wait to hear it.
Great. Well, let's hear a little bit.
This is the original.
Good. Waltz from In Rainbows. It's really a good song. You should be so proud of that tune.
Yeah, I like that tune. I still like that tune.
Did you remix them for the... I mean, I got that one when I bought it for the... whenever it was in November. Or no, October. Mm. When it's a CD now, is it mixed again? Was this with the cuts mixed
just,
again?
No, it's just the it's the full it's the full Monty.
It wasn't that particular cut. There were other cuts that I thought sounded different to me. Yeah,
It's just all the strength of the. It's just that weird thing where is that the MP3 thing was I think we wanted to make sure that people could get it, so we. It was a quite. It was wasn't the biggest compression it could have been. A
couple of bits held out.
No, man. It just got it just got reduced a bit. Which because we didn't want it to take ages to download and stuff.
Sure. No, yeah.
Not least of which because it would blown our server apart.
Well, it totally worked out. So glad you did it. Take us out on a cut for.
Oh yeah.
One
okay.
More.
Now what else we got on?
Well, we got Autiker.
Oh yeah. God, it's LP5, isn't it?
Come yeah, on. You want us to skip through it?
No. Yeah. Okay. Please, is that all right?
Yeah, sure.
Next. Oh, actually, that's... No, have a listen to this one. I can hear them turning off in droves. Gets going in a minute.
Skip, just skip.
No, it's this good one though. It's a good one actually.
Okay, so
Hang on. No, okay, skip to the next one. It's a bit of a long intro. That one. So we're on two now, are we?
Yes. Didn't you hear him nod?
Yeah. No. next. There you go. What's that one? Three.
This is called Ray. R-A-E.
Oh, okay.
We can keep going if you want.
Yeah, fold 4, wrap 5 is next, isn't it? Is that right? No. Oh, no, this one's pants. Next one.
Next.
Oh, yeah, that one.
That sounds great.
That's great, that one. That's a good way to end, yeah.
Great. Okay,
what was that called, that one?
It's V-O-S-E-N. I don't know how you say it.
Of course it is. All right. Have you heard the new Otaku?
Do you know how to say it?
No, there isn't a way to say it. I think they put their elbows on the keyboard.
Okay. Thanks for doing this today.
Thanks for the pleasure, actually. I haven't done any talking for a while. It's nice.
Tom York speaking to us from the BBC Studios in Oxford, England. For other musicians playing DJ on All Songs Considered, you can find a link for that at the All Songs Considered homepage. And if you like this, write to us at allsongs@npr.org. Don't forget, we also have a blog. You can check that out and read our thoughts about new music and favorite bands that perhaps you don't know, and a chance for you to write about the bands you love. That's All Songs Considered blog. Also, a link for that at allsongs@npr.org. And if you don't get this as a podcast, you should know that our show every week is downloadable as a podcast. For NPR Music, it's All Songs Considered.
Yeah.